Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Whiplash Talk. This is Sunshine, your host, and I am so excited that you've joined us today. I have so many fun friends on here today that I think you guys are going to laugh the whole show, but you're going to get a lot of helpful tips in the process. I have with me Down and Dirty's double duo here. I have Vivacious Vic and Idaho Bo with me.
Howdy, howdy.
I also have with me permaculture guru, Matt. He's with us. Matt, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Guru, you can lighten up on that term. I'm just a grateful practitioner.
Okay, you got it. And then we are so excited to welcome Josh McWilliams with us. He is the founder of Grow Oya, who has saved my bacon in the place where I garden that is short for, I'm probably about 30 minutes away from hell. It's so hot here. So, Josh, thank you for saving my garden with Grow Oya.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you. Well, we wanted to get together. I talked to Josh and I was like, you know, I would love to have you on my show. I'm so excited about your product. It lit me up when I got it last year and my garden didn't die. And I actually had vegetables that I could eat and the bugs didn't get them. It was just incredible because I run nighting and nothing. And I would get off work at 9 o'clock at night and I'd be like, great, I missed a watering session and my plants really suffered. So it was just the perfect, perfect thing to talk to him. And when he agreed to come on the show, I just couldn't do it without the mighty triplets over here, Idaho Bo and Vivacious Vic and Matt. So we'll probably end up talking all over each other, but I just wanted to get everybody together. We really don't have a political focus. We don't want to get into that. We don't want to talk about the recent activities going on around the world. We just want to focus on our love of gardening and our love of humanity and our love of sharing with one another and how you can be in an apartment and still grow something, or you can have multiple acres and grow a lot of food and help a lot of people and your families as well. So let's get going, guys. Bo, you want to kick it off? You want to start off and tell me your thoughts? Bo, you there?
I am. I was electronical problems, you know. I couldn't unmute myself, which some people might find that a good thing. Vic told me once that I like to talk. Anyway, that's another story. In a nutshell, I've been a gardener for 35 years or longer.
Right.
Did some when I was a kid. I love vegetables. I love fruits. And when I was married, my husband changed my mind from making a beautiful herb garden, which I do utilize herbs and grow, to putting in a vegetable garden. And I got the fever. I learned how to can and preserve all my booty, vegetables, fruits, grapes, all kinds of goodies. And then I learned how to make tinctures from the herbs. And I have some small oyas my sister gave me for my houseplants, but I don't have a garden right now. I just garden on my patio. And awesome. I have a lot of pots. So I don't exactly know where you want to go from there.
Nope. All
right.
I'm gonna go to Josh next. That's where I'm gonna go from there. How's that?
All righty, sounds good.
Awesome. Josh, when we talked, you told me a story that just kind of was on the back burner. We really didn't lead into it on purpose. And I'm like, that's the perfect Whiplash Talk story. And I asked you if you would mind sharing it. And you said you'd be happy to. So would you mind sharing just a little bit about your Whiplash Talk and how you birthed Grow Oya?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I love talking about this. Obviously, it's something that, you know, it means a lot to me. And yeah, you're right. The company was birthed out of this. So, you know, I'm a chef by trade. I got my chef certificate young and moved and chefed all over in Europe. Ended up moving back, and at the time I was working at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver and sat on the Sustainability Council and really learned a lot about the huge problems facing our food system, and felt very compelled to do something about it. Simultaneous to that, my oldest daughter, Amelia, had some medical issues, some health issues at the time. It was a real moment in my life where I had to step back and really think about food not in an existential way. I loved eating. Who doesn't love to eat? I was very excited to, you know, my whole life just be so into food. Mm-hmm. But in this moment of hearing about the troubles about our food system and looking at these complex health issues for my daughter, I began to see food in a completely different lens, in something that could actually heal both the environment, our communities, the health of what holds us together in society, as well as physically our bodies. It wasn't something that looked fancy on a plate anymore. Food became this powerful act to heal and to restore. It was interesting because at the time, I mean, I had a great track record of slaughtering indoor plants. I knew nothing about growing. And I certainly, as a busy new dad and being a chef, I didn't have a lot of time. So even though I was compelled that food could hold some of the answers to some of these problems, I didn't know really where to start. And I remember, it was water for me at the time. I was, you know, really unsure about, you know, how much, how little. Being in the Pacific Northwest, we go from so much rain throughout the year. I mean, we're a rainforest. And then summertime comes, and in the last few years, we've had crazy wildfires, big droughts. So even though we're abundantly rich most of the year, we get to our growing season in the Northern Hemisphere, and we have our challenges as well, too. So I started there, and I thought about, hey, is there something out there that could, you know, be watering for dummies? Because I was the dummy. But something that could also solve a little bit of this time issue as well. And Oyas were there. So simultaneous to getting into Oya irrigation or clay pot irrigation, we also began to look at fresh, local, seasonal as a way to, you know, support Amelia in her situation, and saw tremendous healing through food as well. So it was these two things. It was, you know, seeing a daughter be transformed by the power of food, but also seeing how through a very busy time, I was able to start this business and something that gave me a lot of joy. I was like filling up my cup as well too. Right. And felt so good because it's something that, you know, when starting it, I really did think that the Oya company was like a water saving company. But I'm convinced it's a time saving company now too, and we're all living in a little bit of time poverty, and so this ability to save time and make gardening viable as we're all super busy, I love that as well too. I got to slow down and connect, and make sure that growing something, caring for something else was, the focus. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is fantastic. What a beautiful story. I know, Matt, you had talked about Oyas, and when you saw Josh's website, you were like, cool, Oyas. So I was wondering, do you have experience with them as well?
No, not so much. I like the spaces that I've been working with the soil, they're very clay rich. And so it's kind of like a giant olla if you can super hydrate it. And luckily I have some flood irrigation that I can do an overnight flood, and it's like filling that olla up to the brim. And I'm also kind of in this little microclimate where I have really giant, beautiful trees. They're, you know, it's a blessed curse because they're on the south side, and it does cast a beautiful, cool shade during, you know, being in the high desert prairie.
Right.
So one hardcore watering can carry through the week for at least what we can flood irrigate. So that's my experience kind of with oyas, and other than my really the affinity from indigenous and other the ones that kind of instigated that cleverness, that whoop, whoop.
Right?
Well, yeah.
I know, Josh, I noticed that you guys just launched a little spike. Tell me about that.
We did. Yeah. Really excited. It's been a long time coming. I think bringing new products to market and the creation and creative process that it requires.
Right.
It's a lot. I'm not a designer. I don't pretend to be one. My garden pursuits all started outside with vegetables, you know, being the chef. I was like, oh my God, if I could grow all these flavors and grow all these nutrients, then yay. But I'm definitely into some indoor plants as well too. And there was always this like, well, what happens when we go away on vacation? What happens when we're gone? How do we adequately water these things with the same approach, right? If I water too much, I'm going to kill them. Or if I don't water enough, I'm going to kill them. And nobody wants to invite their crazy neighbor over to slaughter them either.
Right.
So yeah, this spike is basically a solution to our indoor pots or our bigger indoor pots, but can easily work for smaller containers outside as well. Patio, hanging basket. It's approximately half the water capacity as our small olla. So you could think about it like a micro or a mini olla as well.
That's so cool. Vicky, have you done anything with ollas in all of your experience?
I have not, but I am in the same town with the same soil structure as Matt. So
gotcha.
Clay, and I'm blessed to have water from the river irrigation, which Boise's famous for. So, I water heavy and deep about 2 to 3 times a week now that it's actually summer. Mm-hmm. But a little tiny snippet of what I'm up to, I have 6 CSA clients, including, well, and plus myself and my family, that I grow food for.
That's amazing.
And just in the last 2 days, I've hung 2 big bunches of chamomile to dry. Today, I harvested kale, chard, endive peas, red and golden raspberries, bok choy, and garlic scapes, which are all going south with me to my daughter's house in the country. And then I planted cilantro and 1 cucumber yesterday.
We'll be over for dinner after the show's over.
So I'm heavy duty right into harvest and still planting different things as the really tender things are going to seed. My cilantro I've already pulled up. That's why I planted more. My spinach is going, you know, and all that. So I just rotate and I plant. I'm ready to harvest beets next week. Peas are coming off crazy. So
awesome.
I'm helping to feed people, and that is a great joy, I think, for all of us.
Yes, it is. And that was a really good segue. Thank you. Because I wanted to talk about, with the cost of groceries and with the, you know, cost of everything going up, fuel costs, et cetera, and so forth. I know that, you know, there are people out there that don't really worry about groceries. They just pay them out. But there are some of us out there that actually do have to watch our budgets. And I know that in the summertime, I really enjoy growing a lot of my food and my grocery bill goes way down. And so I wanted to go into how do we help people. And I have the broad spectrum here. I have a chef who grows his own food and herbs, and I have a Idaho beau here that currently lives in a place where she doesn't have her own plot of dirt, so she's doing everything in pots. Then I have Vicky, who has her CSA accounts, and then I have Matt, who's a permaculture master. Okay, I didn't say guru. So so I've got the broad spectrum, and so I would love to hear, if you guys were talking to somebody that, you know, had not grown their own food before, you know, where would you start? Would you tell them to start with herbs? Would you tell them to go find that little tomato plant and rescue it before it's killed at Tractor Supply? Ooh, I said a word at the store. Oops. Before it's killed at the local hardware store? Or what would you guys do? And I'll just start with Vicky. I'll start with you.
I would just pay attention to what is going on in your town and with the choices that you might have at a store like that. There's so many garden stores and there's so many farmers markets that are providing plants that are organically grown, and they're ready to go in a pot. They're ready to go in a garden. They're ready to go in a raised bed if you've got a little raised box somewhere. And I would say just grab, you know, we all know what we're attracted to when we're walking through a marketplace or a plant store. We know what we gravitate to. Grab it and just get going, because you don't need to overthink it, and, you know, see what you can do with it. I want to keep it as uncomplicated as possible, so that people don't think, oh my gosh, I'm not a gardener, I don't know where to start, I don't know what to do. Just try it on and pay attention to your plant. And there's so much information online. You never really are alone in solving problems now. So just get started.
Right. Or they can listen to our show.
Yes, they can always listen to our show.
Yes. And that
we talk a lot about that kind of stuff.
Yes, we do talk about that a lot. You want to give it a plug real quick, Bo?
Sure. Well, our show Down and Dirty with me, Idaho Bo, and Vic, that just chatted, is on every other Sunday. So we're not on this Sunday, the following Sunday. And if you go to our page, bbsradio.com/downanddirty, you'll scroll down on the page. And our first show was an introductory show. And then the second show was, we talked about getting started in the garden and what to do. To add to what Vicky said, I would say start small. You don't want to overwhelm yourself. Vicky also alluded to, you know, if you get overwhelmed, you're going to say, well, I can't garden, but everybody can. The seed does the work. And, and, you know, you just have to provide good soil, which we also talk about. Good soil, water, and sunshine.
That's me.
In a pot, I just planted some bush green beans. I've got two different kinds of tomatoes. I'm going to plant some carrots this afternoon, which will be ready to harvest in the fall, into the pot with the tomatoes, because everybody knows that tomatoes love carrots. Or is it carrots love tomatoes? Anyway, start small, but like Vic said, just do it. Just take that first step and you will grow a garden.
I love it. Matt, you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I can understand the intimidation and overwhelm of, you know, maybe starting a brand new endeavor, and some encouragement to give some confidence and rub shoulders with some really beautiful humans that are already far down the path is look for community gardens in your area.
Yes.
And farmers markets, and talk to, like, getting to know them and their personalities, who you resonate with, and maybe saying, hey, can I come out and help you in exchange for food kind of things? Like, that's what I do. What I can't grow at our urban homestead, I have a really beautiful friend that does a nice market and CSA garden, and I'll go out and help him have a beautiful exchange and getting starts for the season or food throughout the season. So that's a really fun way to integrate with community and learn a lot really rapid fire fast. And like was mentioned by Bo and Vicky, I think just starting is that don't overanalyze anything and start creating soil is probably the first and foremost. If you don't think you can get a garden in, just start prepping the soil, the space that you want to become a garden, because that mm-hmm. takes time. And there's a lot of methods out there that you can like get natural resources, organic matter to do like sheet mulching lasagna style. I would just start with maybe those concepts and even growing things in pots to initially if you're really intimidated.
That's really good, Matt. The community gardens, that's a really good tip. And you touched on something that if people can't tell on this show, gardeners are people that want to help people. We have big hearts. And if you ask me about growing tomatoes and what is that worm, I could tell you all about it. And I'll be happy to tell you all about it. And so that was a really good point. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, what are your tips on telling somebody to just get started?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this here and thinking about my personal journey and hearing from you all. And yeah, I definitely think get started where you're at. There's, you know, that quote about blooming where you're planted. We're all in a different place, and mm-hmm. some of it'll be, you know, access or education, garden education, as the barrier. Some it's financial. You're right. Food is expensive, and we don't talk about it enough. Just how much work it is to put food onto a table. Right. I spent some time helping out at a farm in the last few years, and this is a smaller but high output, deeply sustainably rooted. So it meant not a lot of automation, a lot of things by hand, and a lot of bloody work. And right. you spend an afternoon on your knees in row beds, you know, weeding and planting and harvesting, you begin right. to really just, it looks easy and convenient in a supermarket. And sometimes we balk or judge the price of what it takes to get there. But I think farmland, we're not grateful enough what that true cost is. And so it gets incredibly political and difficult. I think, you know, food is broke is again why I do something about it. Something, and they had a neighbor and or a community and or hunting or foraging, like there was this awareness and connection to food that I think we've largely lost. Mm-hmm. And I love that that's been coming back. You see farmers markets all over North America have exploded since the 80s. You see community gardens and the desire to grow and even green spaces, the ones mm-hmm. that don't even produce, disconnected from food and soil. I think once you do get growing and once you do experience, oh my God, I just grew them. You know, it's so not only addictive, but I think it's needed. We're like, again, we're all just disconnected, and to get back to that relationship with our food and our food source, it's huge.
I agree. I think my answer on this, and I consider you guys like the pros, I'm just like the little one running behind with the little wheelbarrow. But I think my two suggestions would be plant something that you actually like to eat. Don't plant something just because, you know, oh, that's a pretty plant and I'm going to grow it and I'm going to do this. Plant something that you really will talk to, nurture, fertilize that you really do want to enjoy the bounty of your hard work. And so mine, Matt, you were talking about everybody, like, I think it was Matt, we were talking about everybody kind of has their different plant that they kind of gravitate to. Maybe it was Yubo, but anyway, they have their plant that they kind of gravitate to. Mine are tomatoes. I am one, and I have five tomato plants. Now, does one person need five tomato plants? No, but I do. Because I need those different ones. You know, I have my favorite. I'll tell everybody, this is a tip. My favorite cherry tomato is Sun Sugar. It is a golden, like orange cherry tomato that is to die for. So I always plant extra tomatoes because I love them. And so, and I know it's a nightshade. Don't get on to me. Go away. Go away. And the second thing, I love my nightshades. I love my okra too. So my second thing is, Vicky alluded to this, get on the internet because there's so much out there that can help you. What has really helped me a lot with pest control is going on the internet and saying, what is the companion plant for blah, okra? Or what is a companion plant for tomatoes? You know, that kind of thing. And like Bo said, you know, tomatoes love carrots. And so that's where I get a lot of, I do plant marigolds. I think they're pretty. The butterflies love them. So that's a good, that's a win. But they're fragrance, meh. But I don't care because that's what keeps the pests away. And I also plant, I intermix herbs in with my tomatoes. So basil and tomatoes really like each other. So, and they go really well together. So get you some mozzarella and have a lovely day. So those are the things that I would recommend, is plant something that you really will actually eat and that you'll enjoy growing and that you'll put a little extra love into. And then find the companion plants to plant with your plant. So that way you get help with the pest control as opposed to, oh my gosh, what are all these little aphids on here and how the heck do I get rid of them? So that's my secret on that. Okay, Chef Josh, if you were to grow, if you could only grow three herbs, this is hard for a chef, this is going to be fun. If you could only grow three herbs, what are the three that you would say would be the most staple for people to grow, the most versatile for them to maybe stretch their budget dollars to make a meal a little more tasty?
Yeah.
Sorry, great. You want to make it five?
Nope,
will it be easier if I'm... Okay.
Such a good question. I love all the herbs. It's one of those things that no matter what you're cooking, having something fresh, you know, buying store-bought dried any herb I wouldn't recommend. Some are worse than others.
Right.
But dry your own herbs if you're going to do it. Perennials. I think I've got a massive patch of oregano that I planted over a decade ago. It's unbelievable. There's no issues with it at all. It's the easiest thing to grow. It's a flavor like no other. I can use it in all the Italian cooking that I absolutely adore. It dries really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
When it blooms, it's a big pollinator. The bees love it. Oregano would be probably the first one. Equally, I've got a big patch of thyme beside that. And same thing. You know, it's perennial. It comes back every year. Dead easy to grow. Tolerates our weather and climate real well. When it blooms, it's delicious. It's all the things. But I think fresh basil. Because when you were talking tomatoes there too, I was thinking like, we don't have tomatoes yet. They're coming. I'm counting down the burrata and tomato, fresh basil dinners on a patio. I'm just like, I can't wait. But that fresh basil is it really does change the dish, you know? Simple to grow. It's just not something you're going to get year round.
Right. Agreed. So, Bo, so you have a big old head of cabbage and your family is like, they've eaten cabbage for 3 weeks straight and your cabbage is like taken off. You've got so much cabbage. What do you do with it? I know you're the sauerkraut queen.
so easy. Fermented sauerkraut, not only is it delicious, and I do have to disclose that my mother was born and raised in Germany, so that might have something to do with my love of it. Yeah. So easy. It's cabbage and salt and a little bit of thyme. But it's fermented, and fermented foods are packed with probiotics and all different kinds of deliciousness. Super, super easy. And I'd like to go back to what Josh said. Yes. Because the oregano is it's an anti-inflammatory, it's antiviral, so is thyme, and I can't do without basil. You can even grow basil in your house during the winter.
Well, that's a great idea.
I also do like fresh sage.
Yes,
fresh. You know, Josh, how about some butternut squash ravioli with a brown butter sage sauce? Oh my gosh!
Yep, that's delicious. Yummy.
Yeah. So, and you know, I do make a lot of my own herbal concoctions. So I grow medicinal herbs as well.
Yeah.
Love
so,
that.
Yep.
Oh,
I yield. Helpful.
There you go. Nice. So, Nikki, are you an herb princess as well?
Well, like I said, I just harvested a lot of chamomile.
Okay. I know.
This is my second harvest. Mm-hmm. I have a huge oregano plant. In fact, my backyard at one point was overtaken with oregano. I absolutely adore it. And I love it in Mexican food and salsas. Yes, I have quite a few herbs going. I've got beautiful Thai basil going. And like I said, I just replanted my cilantro. Yeah. I have a lot of wild herbs. I've got mullein. I've got tons of comfrey. I do the chop and drop with comfrey because it fertilizes, it mulches, and it is such a companion to all gardening. And then I've got motherwort and evening primrose that are just going nuts. And I mean, I have to constantly pull that out because I don't really want all that. But you let some of those things go to seed, and then you've got them pretty much for life. And so, I've got a ditch. My irrigation ditch in the back has a great big, beautiful patch of mint growing because that's a water lover. And on the different segment of my ditch, somebody planted horseradish. And it's taken over.
It will take over the world.
There's a lot of herbs around my place. Some of it's wild, not on purpose, and some of it is really cared for by me.
Make fire cider with that horseradish pick.
That's lovely. Yeah, I want to get some of that motherwort. I'll get back to you, Matt. What are your favorite three herbs?
I really love culinary sage. I just put in a new plant that I got from my buddy Mike that he's got one that's super established, and it just, the flower blossoms on them are just phantasmic. The bees are all over it, and I discover how healthy sage is. So that's wow, that's super nifty. And then I also just love the flavor of I love the licorice flavor, so I really enjoy anise and fennel. Those are really fun. And oregano is also just a powerhouse, like healthy gem. Like oil of oregano, like what that can do for the immune system is incredible. So,
true.
Yeah, those are probably my three.
That's
like,
awesome.
Nice
one. So when people are growing herbs, and you know how sometimes your herbs will like take off, like you guys are talking about, and taking over your backyard. So let's say somebody starts growing herbs, and next thing you know, the herb is like it's trying to eat their house. So how do we? Because it happens. We all know it happens. So how do we coach them on moving into making their own tinctures, like Tinctures 101? How hard is it for them to get into that, to where they can have those amenities for their family and to be able to barter and trade and give gifts to their friends? And I'll let whoever wants to jump in take it.
Well,
Go ahead.
No, you go, Matt.
I had a, like, when I first started growing things, and you know, I was really naive and just excited. I was like, oh, I got all this feverfew, and trying to gift plants away, like all these starts, because they just overpopulate seed. They'll eat your house, like you say. Yeah. But I just started kind of just going after, like, making tinctures and kind of ignorantly. I didn't utilize like a lot of other genius resources and other humans that are already doing it. But I just say, look up a basic recipe. Like, I was doing feverfew, and I found out that, and maybe some of your guys' experience with feverfew is, I was using like alcohol versus a glycerin, and I found out that the alcohol renders it a little less effective than a glycerin for whatever reason. But I'd just say, just do a titch more research than I do, but don't be afraid of it. And it's rewarding and fun.
It is fun. Go, Bo. And then somebody jump in here and tell us where to find that glycerin that he's talking about. Go ahead, go.
Well, I was going to say, you use 100 proof alcohol, either vodka or, help me out, Matt. What's the other one?
Everclear.
Thank you, Everclear.
That's me and Vivacious Vic know that one. Sorry.
But gin. I guess
I've heard gin is a good one.
It would depend on what herbs you're using.
Yeah,
they're super simple. And again, there's information all over the internet. What's your first name? Gladstar. You all know who I'm talking about. He was one of the.
Keep going.
Yeah. There are so many books out there. There's so many videos. Basically, you know, I do have a associate's degree in horticulture, but it didn't teach me all of these practical things, and it didn't teach me organic gardening. So it's been a process over the years. Like Vicky has said, gardening is experiential. People go, well, how did you learn how to do that? I said, I looked it up, and I, like a recipe for fermented cashew cheese, or I make a lot of things. I love being in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. It goes back to what we were talking about with starting a garden. Just do it.
Just do it.
I want to chime in.
Please. There you
go.
Bo came down to visit. My chives were just starting to bloom, and I've got some big clumps of chives. Mm. And so she taught me. I have a whole gallon jar full of white vinegar, and half of the gallon jar was full of chive blossoms. And she said to do this infused vinegar. It's this gorgeous purple color. And then that's going to be part of some gifts that I'll spread around at Christmas time for people. Super simple, nothing. Vinegar and chive.
I love it. It's Rosemary Gladstar, right?
Yes. Thank you so much. Yes.
You're welcome. And fitting, Rosemary, that she's an herbalist. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That is funny. Another good one, Vicky, is if you have a plethora of basil at the end of the season, put it in some good organic olive oil and let it infuse the same way. You can make infusions are super simple to make. And
really
from
simple.
An infusion, then you can make beauty products or medicinal products to take if you're not feeling very good. Like Matt mentioned, the oregano oil.
Right.
If you live somewhere where there's a lot of citrus, especially lemons, you can, you know, slice off the really outer part of the lemon peel and put that in olive oil. Oh my God, it's the best olive oil you'll ever eat for salad dressings. And I'm sure Josh has a lot of input on those kinds of things.
Yeah, Josh, make me a salad. That sounds great.
it really is. Yeah, I mean, this is what we were starting this conversation about, like, what's the favorite kind of three herbs? There's so many more than three, right?
Yeah, they cheated. Yeah. They cheated. Bo cheated. Sorry, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt.
But even you know, I've got a bunch of dill. You know, I'm succession planting, right? So I'll always have a couple of pots of herbs going, and the first bit of dill has gone to seed now, and like every time I walk past it, it's right by the front door. I'm like, man, I can't wait for pickles.
I know.
You begin to see things in that, like, you know, the lens of how does this taste or how could I eat? And, you know, thinking about the culinary sage that Matt was talking about and knowing that, yeah, a little brown butter sage is delish. And in a pasta, my mind immediately was like, oh, saltum boca. I don't know if you're familiar with it. You could do chicken as well, but it's usually pounded veal medallions or steaks. And you use fresh sage in between, and you wrap with prosciutto, and it's pan fried.
Oh my God.
it is such an expression of, like, regional Italian flavor, while some simple, right? And yeah, I mean, it's dangerous, right? Because you immediately think, hey, everything tastes better with fresh ingredients. So, you know, how much more can I grow, or how easy to grow this? It's the best. Yeah.
No. That happened to me on the way home from work yesterday. I'm like, I need to run by. I didn't plant cucumber because last year the cucumber, they call them pickle worms here. I don't even know what they are. They're little fluffy, white, spiky things. And I'm like, they wiped out my cucumber crop. And I mean, I was getting a bumper crop. And so I'm like, I'm not doing it this year. And I'm like, oh, I really want cucumbers, you know, tomatoes, cucumbers, come on, onions. So I thought, oh, if there are some left, I'll go get them. Well, sure, there were some left. And there was an eggplant left, and there were some herbs left. And I'm like, okay, you're all coming home with me so you don't die. So I brought them all home. And so I'm laughing because I started planting a tea garden. So I've got lemon balm, and I've got different types of mint, and I missed out on my pineapple sage, but I'll get it next time. And so I've got all this different stuff that you normally plant, lavender, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then I'm like, I put my tomatoes in with it because those are good companion plants. And so it's really not a tea garden anymore. It's just kind of like a hodgepodge garden. But you guys are all talking about, you know, basil and things like that. And it's so easy. People think that you have to make tea out of dried tea. You can go pick the leaves and just make a glass of tea, make a cup of tea. And so it's so rewarding to just, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. I think I'm going to go in and have a cup of tea after this long gardening day, and I might turn it into iced tea. So those are things that I like to do with herbs too, because it's different. And you think a lot of times if you buy your tea, you buy it at the store, and it's already dried. And why not do it fresh? So
I have another thing on herbs about basil. When you buy fresh basil in the little tiny packets in the grocery store, you never want to put them in the refrigerator because they turn black. But I put them in a glass of water, and they root. They root in the glass of water. All year, any time of the year, because I've got a nice little kitchen window, and I put them in a pot and they grow.
Love it.
Yeah.
Tip on cilantro. If you buy it in the store, cut off the bottoms like you would if you were making a bouquet and you bring fresh flowers home. Cut the bottoms off. Uh-huh. Stick them in a glass of preferably filtered water, and then put the plastic bag that's hopefully made out of bananas or whatever they make them out of, loosely over the top, and stick it in the fridge. That's you know how cilantro gets really squishy really fast?
Yeah.
What I just explained will extend the life of your cilantro for a really long time.
It sounds like its own little terrarium. That's cool.
Kinda, yeah. Nice. In the fridge. Don't forget the fridge part.
Now forget about that, Josh. You could do that in your commercial kitchen.
I was just thinking, I eat it all too fast.
I know.
And that's the best part about having, whether it's a herb garden for culinary uses or you're making tea, right. when it's sitting there, you just get to go out. It's always fresh, you know, it's always there and abundant. And it just changes everything, doesn't it?
I agree. Well, we're at 50 minutes. We've probably got about another 7 minutes to go. I'm going to go down to each one of you guys and kind of get your thoughts together on one tip. It could be a gardening tip. It could be a love your neighbor tip. It could be any tip you want to give to my listening audience on Whiplash Talk. And I'm going to go from left to right. And I'm going to go, Matt, let's go with you first.
Nice. My encouragement is how do we look at our spaces? And, you know, as Bo mentioned, just doing things in pots, I think it's just incredible to what we can do with, you know, our own self-limiting beliefs of what is possible and what is not. Like, my whole homestead is like every square inch is, well, you know, for the most part, it can produce something, and you don't start all at once, start slow, but just begin. And it's a beautiful unfurling of all kinds of connective magic for, you know, getting your hands in the soil. Like, start your soil is probably number one. And whether you plant straight away or not, like that, building that healthy microbiome of soil is powerful, and it's indefinate. So that's my encouragement, soil building and really how good. We see our spaces.
That's really good, Matt. I come from a construction background, and so that's kind of like building the strong foundation for the house. If you don't have a strong foundation, I don't care how good the building is on top, it's not going to have a good foundation. So that's a really, really good point. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, Bo, you're next on my list. So I'm going right to left. So hit it.
So to add to what Matt said, and Vicky knows this as well as I do, Matt is a huge community builder. And you can build community with your leftover or abundance of your harvest. Or baking bread, or when you make something, ask your neighbors if they would enjoy your gluten-free sourdough bread or your key lime pie that you made that's dairy-free, whatever. And the community building is really important. I think as we go forward, you know, we're not going to get political or anything, but moving forward, I think being in community and having like-minded people, Matt and Vicky are dear, dear friends of mine, and we're very like-minded in a lot of ways, and growing that community, and then grow your gardens with the community.
Love it. Love it. Okay, Vivacious Vic, hit us.
I think that this whole program and what we're trying to help encourage, educate, and promote in our own communities, our families, this term fearless curiosity came to me. Because a lot of it is conquering fear to just start doing something different, and you got to make space for that. So maybe something else has to go, because in the beginning, when Josh was saying, we're all so busy, and these things do take time to get started. It takes motivation first and foremost, but then it does take time. So how can you adjust your life to creating some more moments of time to start? I think a lot of times people just say, I don't have time. But yet, if they really sit and examine what they're spending their time on, sometimes there's an adjustment that can be made where you do have time. It doesn't take much. Hour a day or an hour every couple days. So that would be my encouragement, is to really examine where we spend our time. And if there's a deep motivation for wanting to become a little bit more independent food-wise, then you got to make room for it.
That's really good, Vicki. Really good. Hey, Josh, you want to follow that one?
Yeah, I love it. Everybody's talking, you know, exactly. Yeah. But start, period. Just start somewhere. There's quick shout out to another company based out of New York, and this is just a garden entrepreneur type shout out, but these very talented women behind the Sill, they created a whole business, a very successful one, very cool one. Based on the premise that in New York, in those towers, you're going to have very limited access to growing space. Most people's entirety of growing will be on their windowsill. Right. And that's what spurred this business, named The Sill. Definitely worth it to check it out. Pretty cool. It's the reminder that you can do a lot with a little space. And
yes,
even that little space, if that's maximized, that's going to do a lot more than, you know, a pretty lousy planned large space. I'm not a big fan of lawns, although it's great for croquet and bocce and all those other things, picnics. But you know, I think we have more space than what we do, and I think we have more time than what we do. It's just like what Vicki was saying, is prioritizing that time. So I think we have the space. I think we have the time. Just start somewhere and start today.
I love what each one of you have shared. And thank you again for being on the show. I'll go ahead and say what I was going to add to that. I think, Vicki, adding on to what you were saying, and Josh, and actually Matt and Bo too, focusing on the importance of just you know, that foundation that Matt was talking about. And that may be just starting with a bag of soil that you trust and know to be good and organic soil to build from in a pot. That may just be the start. But growing and understanding the value of that, a lot of people will say, you know, they don't have enough time to spend with their kids. And when they do have time, their kids are always on their phones or always doing tech or that kind of thing. And I know when I was growing up that the garden was a family event. It was a family affair. And I remember bonding with my grandparents over growing things and with my mom. And sometimes it was just a tomato plant. And so I just, that's where the tomatoes come from, I'm sure. But I just, I just want everybody to know that We all on the show today come from different areas of the country, different countries, and different climates, different situations where we live to where we've got more space or less space. Some are single, some are married, some have children, some do not, some have grown children, some have grandchildren. But we all see the importance of getting our hands in the dirt, getting grounded, and just getting back to the earth and talking to our plants and thanking them for the sustenance that they give us. So I've got about an hour to wrap it up, I got about a minute to wrap it up. So I just want to tell everybody, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for all of my Whiplash listeners and supporters. And I just want to tell everyone, go out. You can check out Josh real quick. What's your website for Grow Oya again?
Yeah, growoya.com. We got a fun summer sale up right now. Check it out.
Yeah,
spell Oya for the spell Oya.
GROWOYA. GROWOYA.com.
And nice. go check out that little spike. It's so cute. Anyway, I love my grow bag combos with my small and my large, and I will take pictures and I'll show you guys. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for joining the show. Thank you, listeners. My beautiful, beautiful love to each and every one of you. Go grow and flourish. Bye.
Love you, sunshine.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Happy growing.
Bye. Bye. Thank you, Josh. Bye. We'll be right back.